Well, it was very interesting to be here this morning so far. A lot of things we thought of, and I was really sobered by Brother Calvin's comments and how often have we been asked to help someone, and we were just like Jonah, but we can pass judgment on somebody like Jonah so quick. Quite sobering when we realize how we can do that, judge something and not realize that it's speaking to ourselves. All right, we greet you in Jesus' name this morning. You probably won't understand what I'm going to say, but you know, it was a little confusing for me to, I don't know how long I was preaching in the book, out of the book of Romans, and all at once that was over. Now what? And I had so many things during the time that I was preaching in the book of Romans. I had so many things that I used to think I'd like to preach about this. And then all at once I was faced with, now I have the opportunity. Now what am I going to do? And I'd like to speak, and I may make this into 2, 3, 4 messages. I'm not sure. I have become almost, and I'm not an expository preacher in the sense of what some like Lloyd-Jones and some of those are. But I've read enough about him that I have appreciated it, and I tend to believe that expository preaching would still be the way that God gets the message across. Because His Word is that which lights us up. And to jump around in it, and I'm sorry I used that term, like I have done many times, maybe we do injustice to what God is trying to say. So I'd like to do I don't want to call it a series, but yes, a couple messages on a certain topic that has been in my mind many times. And through the last years, as I have watched the decadence, how's that word said? Decadence of the world, the falling away of the world. I am convinced that this topic or this part of the Christian's belief and faith is very, very essential. And I believe this topic is one that when we get sidetracked on this one, many, many other things will follow. In the church, I say in the church, that is not good. I told the brethren down when we were together for prayer this morning, so I'm not going to ask those that were down there not to answer this question. But I'm going to ask this question to the audience here this morning, and I would like a response. What do you think in the last 100 years has done more damage to the Church of Jesus Christ? I say it, to the Church of Jesus Christ. It has done untellable damage to the world. But it has also done terrible damage to the Church of Jesus Christ. A certain teaching that has come in through the last 100, I say 100 years, it's longer than that, 150, 200 years. I'd like to ask you as a congregation this morning, what do you think that teaching was that has done that damage to, what could I say, the church? Yes, and the world. Would what anybody venture to say? Speak it again. Who said that? All right. Thank you, Josh. You are exactly right. As I studied this and as I read this, read about it and studied it and looked at it and read commentaries on it, and I don't believe, dearly beloved, this morning that we have any idea what damage that the teaching of Darwinism and some of these things have done to our world. And I'm going to touch on that, and I'm going to tell you before I start that a lot of the things that I say are not my original thinking. I read different books, wrote different things down, and I'm going to do quite a bit of that this morning. But to begin with, I'd like to set a picture in our mind of this debate, evolution or creation. The origin of species. Somebody know what that is? What's the origin of species? Where does that come from? Pardon? That's right. That was the title of Charles Darwin's book, The Origin or the Start of Species. And I don't know what to call this message. I'm not going to call it The Origin of Species, but I have to think of creation or evolution. Or believe it or not. Just like that. I'd like to say, first of all, that I am not a scientist. I do a lot of reading. And I never realized that I'm not much for these modern things. I say I'm not much for them. I can't handle them. I have enough of interest in them, but most of the time I can't really handle them that good. So I stay away from iPods and phone or notepads or whatever they're called. But my wife did get me, my wife and daughter bought me a Kindle. Maybe that, not kindling wood, but a Kindle. And that has been a blessing to me. I really enjoy it, and because of my like for history, my daughter downloaded some free books on this Kindle. And what it is, it's just a little thing that you can carry along. Well, you don't carry it along, but you take it along. It would be, I didn't make an airplane trip since, but if I go, I'm going to take her along, because it's very handy to read, and you can have, I don't know how many books in there, thousands of them in this little thing. But my daughter downloaded some books. Right now I'm reading a book about the Moravians. She got them free. And I don't know how she did it, but I once I read all of those that she did, then I'll go to her again and ask her to do some more. But unless she left the country, which I don't hope she does. But what I'd like to say is this, that in my reading, I don't believe that we realize, dearly beloved, how evolution has made its inroads into the church. Now, we would say we believe in creation. We believe that God created. We believe that. But it has its ways of creeping in. I get the National Geographic. I'm going to be honest. The National Geographic is a total evolutionary magazine. You can read all kinds of magazines today, and most of them are evolutionists. Most of them. The sad part is, in my reading and checking things out, I have found, and I'm going to ramble. I'm going to ramble a lot this morning and probably the next time I preach on this message. But I have found out in my reading that the Church of Jesus Christ, and I say this carefully when I say the Church of Jesus Christ, the what we call the Church in America has accepted much of the evolutionist teachings. And I'd like to explain a little bit why that we are in what we are, like the animal rights movement, like the hug a tree thing,
like the down-to-earth things, all of them have their basis in evolution. Every one of them. I'm convinced of this. I have read it, I have studied it, and I have looked at it, and it goes back to that. One of the greatest animal rights person said a rat is a cat, is a dog, is a boy. In other words, they're all in the same category because they all evolved from nothing. And so I think it's time that we as a church and myself, that we take another look at what we say we believe. I dare say this morning that if I would ask the audience, how many of you believe that God created the earth and the heavens and all that is in it, we would all raise our hands. I trust that. I really do. And so I thought, why preach this? But I tell you, brethren and sisters, that you would be surprised in talking to people. And you tell them you believe that God is in control of everything. You would be surprised how many people back away from that. The Bible is not really all truth anymore. Just what we want to accept. All right, I'll have to get on. I'm not going to turn to a scripture. I might refer to some scriptures this morning, but I'd like to just talk a little bit about evolution. I'd like to set a picture in my mind in a debate. This is critical. I believe this is critical for all of us. It's important for all of us to understand that the origins in the book of Genesis is foundational to the rest of the Bible. If you do not believe this morning with a full understanding of faith that God gives you, if it's not in your mind a solidness that everything was created by God, if you look up and you see the vastness of the universe, if you hear stories of this thousand years of light that the stars are away, and all this, and you get into questions like scientists do. They say light travel. I'll get into some of those things later. But light travels so far and so many, you know, how the speed of light. Well, they say if God created the stars and the earth is just 5,000-6,000 years old, the light of those stars still wouldn't be here. And so it can't be that God created the stars. You see, I read many of these things. And we could go into much of this, and then doubt starts coming in our mind. I work a little bit in the coal business. I heard a very interesting thing last week. They're finding oil down below the Marcellus Shale. The Marcellus Shale gases are down a mile or more. Now they say there are vast amounts of oil below that. And so the scientists are saying, well, we always believed that oil was formed by the compression of the earth. It can't be. It can't be that anymore. Then you get bewildered. Brethren, we don't have to be bewildered. When God created, He created all things, including the oil, the coal, and all those things. He created them. We can try to say, well, it happened through pressures and years and upheavals and whatnot. I'm getting way ahead of myself. But I'm just trying to bring the truth to us this morning that evolution is one of the greatest dangers that has happened in America. I'm going to use America especially. In America, because we are so wise here in America. We have the greatest scientists, and we do the deepest researches, and we're just so wise that we have become very foolish. So wise that we have become very foolish. And you'll probably, as I go on in this, you'll probably understand, or maybe you've done searches on it and studies on it. Do.
Help me along. I'm not a scientist. I don't claim to be any. I'd like to be called a Bible teacher. I'm not too much of that. I'm not much of a theologian. But above all, I'm not a scientist. But I'd like to tell you some things that I have read from other people who have studied. And I will use other people's writings, including complete atheists. I will use some of those writings in this preaching or in this study that I'd like to do. There are basically, hear me people, there are basically only two options for us. Two. You can either believe what Genesis says or not. One or the other. And that's not being oversimple. You have two options. Believing in a supernatural, creative God who made everything is the only possible, rational explanation for the universe, for life, and for purpose, and for destiny. It's the only way. And as we study this, I hope I can convince you of this if you're not convinced already. I hope I can. Because I believe it's important. And I'll tell you as I go on, and I won't hit it all today, but I'd like to tell you some of the things that I found out that I really... You know, if you know me, and a lot of you have known me for quite some time, that I have done a lot of study and reading on the war in Germany, the World War II, Hitler, because I was fascinated at how a people as smart as the Germans could do the atrocities that they did. It all goes back to evolution. You have Stalin and Hitler and Potpoy and we could just go on and on. And all those men were evolutions. I'm jumping ahead of myself in my message. But the divine equation given in the Bible in contrast to what people say, that nobody times nothing equals everything, is quite large. You see, evolutions would say nobody plus or times nothing equals everything. Last week, excuse me, I'm just going to make my message this morning informal. But last week, I was listening to a tape by a man called S.M. Lachlan. I don't know where I got the tape. I have a whole lot of old tapes that I take along, and that's what I listen to, preaching tapes, most of my day. At times I don't, but then most of the time that's what I'm doing. But this Lachlan was an interesting man. Very forceful speaker. And he preached a message on, and as I say this, you'll understand what kind of a man he was. Jesus is Lord! He was a black man. And he had a tremendous message that Jesus is Lord. S.M. Lachlan. I wish I knew where I got the tape. I'd like to get some more. But he said, people ask him, what does the SM stand for? He said, Shadrach, Meshach. My name is Shadrach, Meshach, Lachlan. And people laughed. They didn't believe him. He said, it's true. That's what my daddy called me. Shadrach, Meshach, Lachlan. He said, well, what about the Bendigo? Well, he said, that was part of my name too, but I quit using it. He said, too many times I stood up to preach and said my name and people thought I said I'm a bad Negro. So he just dropped it. I thought that was sort of funny. But he preached on the Lordship of Christ. And it was a real toner for me for this message. The fact that people, evolution, I'm convinced in my heart, brethren and sisters, that evolution has made its inroads because we as people don't want to acknowledge an all-powerful God. And that this way with evolution, we can explain it away. We think we can. And so either we believe God did create the heavens and the earth, or we believe that He did not. There are only two options, like I said. And if we believe that God did create the heavens and the earth,
then we are left with only the record of that, the only record that we have of that creation is found in Genesis 1, and we have to accept that the text of Genesis 1 as the only appropriate and accurate account that we have of the creation of the earth. It's the only one. You can't find another one, no place. And so we're really left with two choices. You either believe Genesis or you don't. You either believe the Genesis account that God created the heavens and the earth, or you believe them that somehow the heavens and the earth evolved out of random chance. I'd like to talk a little bit this morning on that word chance. You know, that's a word that's used a lot by evolutionists. Evolutionists is the word chance. And by chance, something happened. So I'd like to do that. Now, just for a brief moment, if you want to, and if you can open your Bible this morning if you want to, I don't care. But open it to the first book book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. I believe I could probably ask most of you here, can you quote that verse? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He does not explain himself. He doesn't have to. How many of you remember something that I said a few years ago here in this church about this verse? Well, Anna, thank you. Anyone else? I think Anna heard me say it more than once. I'm going to repeat it. Jake, thank you. There was a well-known scientist. I read this years ago, and it stuck with me. No, I didn't read it. I got it from Matthew Henry, was his name, or what was that preacher? It doesn't matter. That preacher that preached up here and down in the prayer leadership seminar, or the prayer retreat. I think that's where I got it. I'm not sure anymore. But there was a man by the name of Herbert Spencer, who died in 1903, that was a scientist. His scientific career, he had become noted for one great thing that stayed, that his name was always mentioned with this. He was not a Bible scholar. He was not a Bible reader. But he made this statement, or came to this discovery, that all reality... How many of you know what reality is? I'm going to use some words that even I don't understand. Because of my reading, I skim over words. I don't know how to pronounce them. And I have a dictionary that goes with me to church at times. And if I pronounce it wrong, I watch the dictionary a little bit. And if the dictionary smiles, I know I said it wrong. But I try to get it right. I don't always manage it. But it's a blessing. What I want to say is this. How many of you know what reality really means? You see, the church is so far away. I mean the church. Yes, maybe the church. But the world is so far away from knowing what is reality. Somebody give me a definition of reality. James. Something that's real. Not some vague kind of thing we come up with. All right. Now, he said he discovered that all things that are real, that all that exists in the universe, this is what this scientist came up with. And I brought this out some years ago, and I just want to refresh our mind on this, because to me it was such a challenge. Everything that exists in the universe can be contained in five categories. When I read that or heard that years ago, I was really intrigued. Something like that just intrigues me. You mean to tell me that everything that we can experience in the universe that's real can be contained in five categories? And he said it's this: time, force, action, space, and matter. Nothing in this world is not in one of those five. I started to think about that. And I'm not the best thinker. But this is what Glenn Matthews. Thank you, Joe.
But then I don't claim this originally. But Glenn Matthews said this. He said when you turn to the first verse in the Bible, he said Spencer claimed this about those that everything is in these categories. Nothing exists outside of these categories. That was quite a discovery, and it didn't come until the latter part of the 19th century. Now, think about that. Spencer even listed them in his writings in that order. He said it like this: time, force, action, space, and matter. That's just a logical sequence. Now, with that in our mind, let's look at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, that's time. God, that's force. Created. Well, creating takes action. So that's action. Creating, created, that's action. The heavens, that's space. And the earth, that's matter. I was fascinated when I read that. That everything in the first book of the Bible, when Spencer, and I don't know what kind of a scientist he was, but people looking into it said he was right. But he was the first one that they know that came up with that. And God came up with that with the first verse of the Bible. That's fascinating. You'll never outthink God. Never. All right, let's go on. Now, either you believe that or you don't. Either you believe that that verse is accurate and God is the force, or you believe that God is not the force that created everything. I'll repeat myself, dearly beloved. I know I will, but I have to. The world was created by God or evolved by chance without a cause. It's one of the two. We can't go out into some other thing. It's been debated ever since Darwin. I read a lot about Darwin already, just simply for my curiosity. And some of the things, you know that he went to a certain island and he studied species on there, and that's where he came up with his thought of evolution. Brethren and sisters, I'm going to tell you this. I am not stumped. I was tempted in my study here to get some of my literature that I have in my study on Ken Ham, is it? Ken Ham? But I didn't. I stayed away from it. The reason I stayed away from it is because I thought if I do that, it'll be too easy just to take Ken's books along and read out of this. And I want to get this in my own mind. When we were at the Creation Museum, it just really sparked something in me. And it's not that I don't believe Ken Ham. Not at all. I think he has made tremendous impact on the church today on creation. Tremendous. And may God bless him for that, wherever he is at in this. But but I believe that we need to realize that we either believe it or we don't believe it. And through that, many writers who have written on this subject say that there's no... One writer, Douglas Kelly, says that there is no doubt that the biblical vision of man as God's creature, whom he made in his own image, has been the most powerful effect on human dignity, on human liberty, and on the expansion of the rights of the individual or the political systems. If once we drop the idea that God created and man became his own evolved being, they weren't responsible to anything. And so we have what we have today in the world. And I believe it has a tremendous effect on our vision of Jesus Christ, salvation, the need that we have in our life. There was a man by the name of Erich von Kuhnelt in Austria that may be, as the writer says, the century's greatest scholar on questions of liberty and totalitarianism. He has written a very important book that he called Leftism Revised, and studied from Marx to Hitler to Pol Pot, which deals with these issues. And he shows that apart from the belief that mankind is created in the image of a transcendent God, the divinely derived dignity and liberty of human beings completely disappears. That's why that you have stories coming out today of despot rulers in countries who find it no problem to completely destroy by the thousands their own subjects in their own country. That's why. Because they don't believe that they were created by a Lord, by a God. They don't believe that, so they are just like you and I when we go out there and maybe we go deer hunting or we go groundhog hunting. You know, I want to bring it down to our level. We go out there groundhog hunting, and you go down there and you sight up, and out there at the end of that rifle, at the end of that scope, or through that scope, you see this creature. It's a groundhog. It doesn't mean anything. You pull the trigger. I got it. That's how these people can shoot a person. Because they believe that they're just like a groundhog. They just evolved. They're not a divine creature made especial for God's glory. And that's what happens with evolution. And so these writers who were atheists, a lot of them, said that once man doesn't even believe in a special reason they're here, anything goes. I have tried to understand Hitler and his lieutenants and those men who were almost more cruel than Hitler yet under him. I understand it. We were just animals. We weren't created by an almighty God, and so there was nothing. You know, the issue is between man created in the image of God and a termite in human existence. That's about what it is. And I think it's time, brethren and sisters. Mark Ewald said something this morning about abortion. I was so moved. I was so moved a few weeks ago, and I hope the Lord doesn't let me go in it, to talk a message on abortion. But I'd rather not do it on a Sunday morning. But I believe, brethren and sisters, we better wake up. We better wake up as a church to understand the horribleness that's going on in our world. Absolutely horrible. Anything from mixed marriage, gay marriages, homosexuality, it's running wild in a world who does not believe anymore they were created by God. It's all where it comes from. Anything from child prevention to child killing, that's what it is. Here and there amongst us in the United States, there's men that are writing and speaking out for it. But you know something? They're hated by mainstream Christianity. They're hated by mainstream Christianity. There's one man in California. I've read a few of his books. He is not afraid to speak out. He is hated by people like, and I'll just say it right out, like Benny Hinn and some of these progressive name it and claim it preachers. He's hated by them. Why? Because he stays with the Word of God. And brethren, once you start dabbling around in Genesis 1:1, once you start questioning Genesis 1:1 and Genesis chapter 1 into Genesis chapter 2, you're playing around with an almighty God. And I believe it's dangerous. I was really moved this morning. Joe Spiker came up here and he read Psalm 33. And as I understand Calvin, he got something out of it. But I got something out of it far different than what Calvin did. I didn't even notice the verse that Calvin did. But I'm going to read the verse that really struck me. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Now listen to this. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. When Joe read that, I thought, bingo! Because that was on my mind. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the width of his mouth. Dearly beloved, do you understand what we're reading? The width of God's mouth made the universe, which our scientists today yet can't comprehend. Even the end of it. Even the middle of it. I'm not going to get very far, I see that. Well, Francis Schaeffer, he's quite a writer, I have some of his books, said this. He said, if he had an hour to spend with a person on an airplane, a person who didn't know the Lord, he would spend 55 minutes talking about man being created in the image of God. If he had an hour. He spent 55 minutes talking to man about man being created in the image of God. And he said in the last 5 minutes, on the presentation of the gospel of salvation that could restore man to that original intended image. None of you here, or very few of you here, were raised in the Amish church. Some of you were as little boys. But there's one thing that always stood out to me in the Amish church. And that is that you would constantly hear about creation. Constantly. It got boring. But I'll tell you something. We need to teach, and we need to believe, and we need to be solid on this first. Or we can have all the revival meetings we want, and we'll have doubting people. Because you need to get solid on Genesis chapter 1. When you tamper with Genesis chapter 1, you're tampering with the word of the living God. And you're taking divine account of a real creation in real space and real time, and you're saying, it's not accurate. I want to warn us on something. I had a dear friend who was a Christian, I believe with all my heart. He's still living. But he used to talk to me about the early times, and he got me to start wondering about whether Genesis is quite straight. Because he was one of those who believed that a day could have been a very long stretch. I don't believe that. I just do not believe that. I believe that God created everything in 6 24-hour days. Did you hear me? We have theistic evolutionists. They want to put God in evolution. God is not in evolution. God is in creation. Not in evolving. They take little things and they say, well, this evolved into that. You know the strange part of it is, and I've been watching and reading and listening and looking at these different things that they're finding in rocks. Some kind of strange birds. I don't doubt at all that there was a Black, or whatever you call them, flying around with wings of skin. I don't doubt that. I believe there were. But I believe that since the beginning of creation, things have been going extinct. They've been going extinct. They've vanished. I believe there was dinosaurs. I believe that. But you know the strange part of it is, many, many times they're trying to find a link between this one and that one. But they can't. There's no link in between them. Why? Because there's no evolving. It was all creation. All of these things were created. I was watching a boat. My thoughts are on this message. Watching boats. It is beyond me. I like cantaloupes. Really like cantaloupes. And my wife, she tries to give me cantaloupes whenever I want them. Or I told my wife, it is completely fascinating to me. You can't see any of these miserable little, I don't know what you call them, fruit bugs or whatever, fruit flies or whatever. But you could be sitting in your living room with all the windows closed and the air conditioned, and you get a cantaloupe sliced ready to eat, and behold, here comes a fruit fly. Now, how did they evolve to like cantaloupes? I don't know. I don't know. They didn't. They were created. And God created all. They didn't evolve from one bug to another. No, they were created that way. They were created to like cantaloupes. You know, Therefore, I believe that it's wrong to violate the evolution. Say like this: they say it's wrong to violate the rights of other animals who are our literal brothers. Do you know that? Read it sometime. You can read about these things. We hear that today all the time. There's an organization called PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And this is that woman who is the national director of that, who said a rat is a pig, is a boy. A rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy. There's no difference. All higher forms of life, a rat being a higher form of life. That's her view, a rat being a higher form of life. So she's equal with a human being. Well, I'm going to let that. We have a funny organization in the U.S. called the Church of Euthanasia. I hope I'm saying that right. I wanted to get the dictionary and look at that word because I read that. But it believes that animal rights are superior to human rights. And I believe they do believe that, because today, if you allow your dog to suffer, you're in big trouble. Anything like that. I'm not saying you should be mean to animals. Don't get me wrong. But I've read animal rights groups that maintain that eating meat is murder. And so you have vegetarians because it's murder to eat meat. Man is a tyrant in killing cows, and that's murder. There was one who said that killing chickens is equal to the Holocaust. She wrote that in an article. Killing chickens is just equal to Hitler's Holocaust. Brethren, do we understand where evolution will take us? And it's a concept that creeps in. And I hope, I trust that I can, before I get through this series, that I can bring in why I believe that it overtakes us, why that happens. I don't quite know what to go to, but evolution basically says that over time, by chance, matter evolved into the entire universe. Monad wrote that this unthinkable, or he won the Nobel Peace Prize, I'm sorry. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for biology. And in his book, Chance and Necessity, he says that man is alone in the universe's unfeeling immensity out of which he emerged by chance. You see, most evolutions believe that it just happened that man evolved and got a bigger brain than the animals. And that's why he's able to control the animals. But that gives him no right to do it. Just because he has a bigger brain. Well, I'm not too sure the bigger brains is helping people, because they do some very strange things. I would have liked to do some quoting from Darwin, but I thought, what is this, standing up in the pulpit and quoting Darwin? But I think we need to realize the danger of some of these things and how they sneak into our thinking. It's even more than immoral. The evolutionary idea is deadly. And in our history, our recent history in Western civilization, no one demonstrated the early character of this deadly evolutionary idea better than Adolf Hitler. I remember of Adolf Hitler. I remember, brethren and sisters, in our public school, and I'm going to do it this way so you understand what I'm saying. When I was in first, second, and third grade in our public school, if we were caught making this on the blackboard, if we made that on the blackboard, we were taken out and a paddle was used on us without mercy. Not saying a word, just putting that on the blackboard. How many of you know what that is? What was it called? Pardon? That's right. I was never bold enough. My brother Mike, he was always a dare. And I remember one time he said, when we were at home, he said, sometime I'm going to do that. We were just young boys. He said, I want to know what happens when I do it. And so he went up to the blackboard and he put his hand like this and he made the little swatistic. And he covered it with his hand. But another boy saw him do it. My brother got spanked. Why? Because it was such a hated symbol. Now, why was it hated? Because Hitler came up with the idea. He was followed after that by Joseph Stalin. And all those who massacred and masses of people, millions of people, and committed genocide. And it's been going on since most of you can remember. But the reason that they did this is because they saw evolutionary theory. They saw the scientific justification of getting rid of what they called the crippled, the maimed, and those that were not really a superior people. And so Hitler targeted the gypsies, the Romanian gypsies. He targeted the Jews and the old people and the crippled and those that were deformed. He thought he had the right to do that because, after all, we just evolved. Do you know, brethren and sisters, that they say most animals, survival of the fittest. Well, that's what they believed. Survival of the fittest. Few people were aware of that, and Hitler even got into Christian commitment from the church of the state of his day. I read a book about Hitler's day, the church in Hitler's day, and it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how these people took that and sucked that up into their system, their Christianity system, where the Jew became somebody that God is going to bless then if they get rid of him. Where does it start? It starts from evolution. It has to. If you believe in a creator God, you cannot be a racist. You cannot be an anti-Semitist. You can't. Do you know where our world is going today? Do you know, brethren and sisters, what is happening in our high offices today? I tell you, keep your eye on Jerusalem. I warn us, keep your eye on Jerusalem. Because we have anti-Semitism coming back in guarded tones that we're going to experience some things I don't prophesy. Maybe I'll just say I predict. I don't feel I'm a prophet. But I believe all these things have their basis in evolution. The head of the Nazi Labor Front said that Hitler's massacres express, and this is what he said, the highest and the best in manhood. That's what they thought. You know, I used to wonder, as I read through the years, the books, I have... Maybe I shouldn't even tell you this, but I have books at home of Hitler's architect and Hermann Göring and some of those that they themselves wrote, and their ideas that they had of coming out with the perfect species of man by killing off all the others. And I could not understand how they could believe a thing like that. But I believe what happens is when people start to dabble with evolution, their belief and faith in an almighty creative God completely waxes away. And once you're there, it's terrible. A young man that married a girl from our church. There's a God, he professes to be an atheist. I'm not sure. But I believe we need to realize the importance of starting in this book on the first verse and having faith that it is truth. Because if we don't, we'll go through life half-heartedly, somewhat believing, somewhat not. But in the end of it, it'll be destruction. It'll be destruction for us. Darwin didn't care if you wanted to worship another God. I don't think Hitler cared if you wanted to worship another God. Just not the God of the Bible. Now, I don't understand men like... who was that? He was imprisoned by Hitler... For it was found out that he was plotting against Hitler's life. He was put in prison and then he was hung. But that's... Say it again. Yes, Bonhoeffer. I used to read Bonhoeffer's writings, and I was really impressed. But I was rather shocked when I found out he decided to help get rid of Hitler. I'm going to let that in God's hands. I'm not going to make a lot of comments on that. But Bonhoeffer saw things happening that he thought was so extreme anti-God that he could not bear to see his beloved Germany being taken down by a man like this. I'm not preaching necessarily this morning against Hitler. Yes, I am, I guess. But what I'm saying is this, that when a man accepts evolution, there is no saying how far he will go. He'll just be like out there in the field shooting rabbits. It doesn't mean more than that. There's been dictators in Africa that did such atrocities that you can hardly believe it. Why? Because they didn't believe in a creator God. And Darwin didn't care what I said. He didn't care if you worshipped some other god. The scientific world was against the origin of the species when it was first written. The scientific world really protested. Darwin had a hard time when he first came out with his book of evolution. He had a hard time. It was a hard sell. Darwin even had a hard time. You read the life of Darwin sometime, and you'll find out that Darwin had a miserable time. He even called his work, what did I have it written down here someplace? Can't think of how the words were. In the sixth chapter of his Origin of the Species, he writes this, long before having arrived to this part of my work, the crowd of difficulties will have occurred to the reader. Some of them are so grave that to this, now Darwin wrote this, that to this day, he said, I can never reflect on them without being staggered. Yet he kept on and the world had accepted it. Do you understand, dearly beloved, how Darwin affected the world? One man. His theory, now of course it's been blown out much more than Darwin ever did since that, but his theory that we evolved instead of were created. He said that the eye could evolve. He said to think, this is what he wrote, Darwin himself, he said to think that the eye could evolve by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd to the highest possible degree. But he was honest, wasn't he? I mean, I was in at the doctor's office because of my ears. Seems like I'm going for my eyes, and then I'm going for my ears, and then I go for my eyes again. But I was in the doctor's office because of my ears. Doctor, and he went and put an instrument in my ear, and he had a television screen over here in the desk, and he showed the inside of my ear. I about screamed. I said, I didn't know that there was a Carlsbad cavern in my head. We are marvelously made. And now Darwin says, even though I think that man evolved, I can't quite understand how the eye ever got made. Amen, Darwin. Amen. It didn't. It was created. It was created. Darwin wrote that he was deeply conscious of his own ignorance. Yet he came in his personal letters, he wrote about having awful misgivings of having deluded himself and devoted himself to a fantasy. And the world's swallowing it! He said that I'm determined to escape from design and a personal God at all costs. There's your answer. He wanted to escape from a personal God at all costs. And so evolution took that place. The end of his life, he was in that war, trying to escape from a God he never really could. He finally, in his emotional life, he under the strain of the battle, the religious feelings disappeared, and with everything else, his compunction of honor taught, and he supported it. And I believe that's how it is when man will finally be given over to a reprobate mind. I was really tempted to turn to Romans this morning. Go back to Romans again in the first and second chapter. Because there it is. Right there it is. It was predicted. It was not predicted. It was by the moving of the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote what we are affected of by now. And yet, If you really study history, you'll find out that for the most part, evolution had no place until Darwin came out and organized it. It was a little bit like theology of the church. When John Calvin, he was a theologian to the capital T, and when he came and he organized religion, that's exactly what Darwin did with evolution. He organized what people were hoping could be so they wouldn't have to acknowledge a God. They wouldn't have to acknowledge a God. James Moore wrote a biography of Darwin called The Life of a Tormented Evolutionist. That's what he titled it. The Life of a Tormented Evolutionist. In some of his letters, Darwin referred to his theory, and he quote, as that's what I wanted, the devil's gospel. He called his own book the devil's gospel. Now, to me, I can say yes. Okay, I understand that, Darwin. You were a deep thinker. And so you finally came up with the thought that it can't be possible. But the thing that is hard for me is to understand that a civilized nation like we have can take a doctrine like Darwin was promoting of evolution and accept it as their own, though they often, again and again and again, they run up against the wall. We get a monthly paper from the Creationist Museum, and it is quite interesting how that the scientists, the more they learn, the more they know they were wrong back there. And they constantly have to revise and revise. All they would have to do is believe this. I wish I could quote some of those things that S.M. Lachlan said, how that the Lord, He is Lord, and how He hung, I wish I could say it, how He hung nothing on nothing with nothing. It was almost amusing. The way he said it, it was so interesting. He hung nothing on nothing with nothing. When God created, you understand that? I tend to think when he took the world and he hung it on, no, he had nothing. There was nothing. But he took that and he hung it on nothing with nothing, and it became the world. I know that's how he said it. But you go back to Psalms and you'll find that to be fairly true. Well, I'll have to close. I had my hour. But I'd like to talk a little bit on change before I sit down. Now, I didn't turn to Scripture this morning. I may not so much the next time, but I would like to eventually. But I'd like to say, what I want to say, the word chance, not change, chance. Chance was once related to describing, what could I say, a mathematical possibility. That was chance. You know, you had a chance. Mathematically, you have chances. It's like playing the lottery. You have chances. What could I say? James is going to go down to Keystone Vinyl. I'm going to go down to Keystone Vinyl on the chance that I might meet James there. That's what chance was often used. That's how the word was used. But the evolutionists took that word chance. And chance is nothing. See, there isn't a chance that I'll meet. James is coming to Keystone and I'm going. There's not a chance. Chance isn't anything. Can you understand me? I thought about this and I said, no, this is going to drive the people. They're going to say, no, Abner, what are you saying? But their chance isn't anything. We say, well, I have a chance to catch the train. What do you mean a chance? You'll either catch it or you won't. Chance isn't a substantial thing. We use it as a word, and that's not wrong. But the evolutions are constantly saying that a chance happened. A chance happened. A chance happened. Maybe I'm confusing you. Chance doesn't exist. It's nothing. Chance is a word used to explain something else. But chance isn't anything. It's not a force. It's used to explain something. Something doesn't happen because of chance. Chance doesn't have any power. Do you follow me? Understand what I'm saying? But that's all that the evolutionist has. It was a chance. When I was a boy, they used to talk about the Big Bang. That's what now they don't talk much about the Big Bang anymore. Once in a while, you realize it. But like all at once, it went boom, and everything came into existence. Well, they say that's improbable. I remember a preacher saying when I was, I don't know how old I was, that he said that for the world to come into a being with a big boom, it's just like taking all the parts of a Cadillac and throwing them in the garage, and out the back door comes a Cadillac. Boy, it's much more than that. Much more than that. But people say, well, there was a chance that that happened. Oh, chance isn't anything. It does. There has to be logical thinking. Our God is logical, if anything. He's logical. You know, how do we get a matter upon which chance operates? Where does that come? You would have to say, well, chance made it appear. Something appeared because of chance. You see, when we abandon logic, and logic said, oh, there's a universe. There's a universe out there. Well, somebody made it. Or we would say, well, there's a building. Yeah, immediately we say, who built the building? We don't say chance built it. We don't say, well, there was a chance came and all at once a building was there. We don't say that. We would think you guys crazy. But that's what they say about evolution. You say, no, chance made it. Listen, that to me is rational suicide. Once you start thinking that way. I could talk. I had written something down. I decided I'm not going to. But we could talk and talk about the unrational things that the evolutionists believe. Pure stupidity. Why? So they don't have to believe in an almighty God. So they don't have to bend their knees and acknowledge that someplace there is a judge. That someplace there is an answer to be given. Chance is not a force. Chance can't make anything happen. I don't want to repeat myself. But they have left the domain of reason. They have left the domain of science. You know, they're pulling rabbits out of a hat. That's about how it is. They've left that. There's no power because it doesn't exist. Now, when scientists attribute instrumental power to chance, listen careful. They have left that domain. They have left that domain of even science because science reasons things out. And so I understand why Ken Ham and some of those men out there say that evolution is not even scientific. It's not even scientific. There's no explanation, and I'm going to close on this, but there is no explanation, my dear people, this morning of a universe without God. Did I say that too positive? No, I didn't say it positive enough. There is no explanation of a marvelous universe without God. If you can look up into the sky, whether it be a stormy thunderstorm coming, or whether it be a beautiful clear sky, and it doesn't immediately turn your mind to God, be careful. Because foremost in our mind ought to be our Creator. What he did. I read into some things that I think I'd better stay out of it, but I was reading about some of these atoms and protons and how that the atoms split, and they came up with this thing of the quantum leap. And I wanted to know what that was. So I looked up to it, and what it is that a certain thing that it's done by scientists with atoms, that it leaps from one to the other, but they never see when it's going from here to there. It disappears here and appears there. They call that the quantum leap. Now, this is scientifically true. I mean, this is something, this is not just something made up. When a photon hits an atom, it boosts an electron to a higher orbit from the lower orbit, but it never traverses in the space between. Now, this is scientifically has been proven this. This is what's called the quantum leap. It goes out of existence and comes into existence. All the time that all these atoms, all the time through all of created history keep doing that. By chance? No. But because there is a God that holds everything together. You know, if God would all at once not be in our creation, everything would fly apart. It's God that holds my body together. It's God that holds the earth together. And when He releases it a little bit, may I say this? We have an earthquake in Haiti. That is terrible. Because He released a little something. But God holds it together. May I let that in our memories. May God bless. I know this was different this morning. And the sad part of it is, for you people, I'm not done. But I would just so like to make it so real to me and to all of us that God created. Praise the Lord. Do you realize the blessing that you and I can have in believing that God created? May the Lord bless. Brother James.